Welcome to this podcast about Castle Cape and Chinook Bay in Alaska. The article is produced by Coastview, written by Dr. Carl Schock, and read by Inara, an AI-generated voice. Scroll down to see pictures, maps, and dozens of embedded links to additional information. Please consider subscribing to enjoy more articles and podcasts at coastview.org. Castle Cape extends about 10 miles northeast from the Alaska Peninsula and forms the southern entrance to Chinook Bay, separating Castle Bay to the northwest from the Pacific Ocean to the southeast, about 45 miles northeast of Perryville, and 9.5 miles southeast of Chinook, Alaska. The point at the end of the Cape is officially named Tulumnet Point, but is locally known as Castle Cape, according to the U.S. Geological Survey in 1911. The Cape was first described in 1898 by Lieutenant Commander Jefferson F. Moser of the U.S. Navy aboard the U.S. Bureau of Fisheries steamer Albatross. Rising over 1,200 feet, Castle Cape is distinguished by a turreted summit and sharply stratified rock, displaying alternating dark and light layers. This striking formation serves as a prominent navigational landmark for passing ships. The deep embayments extending southwest from the Cape, known as the Castle Cape Fjords, are flanked by extremely rugged mountains carved by the sea. These rocks belong to the peninsular terrane, a structural geological unit underlying much of the Alaska Peninsula. The peninsular terrane is a Triassic to Jurassic island arc complex that was accreted to the North American plate by the early Cretaceous. The terrain includes the Iliamna and Chinook formations. The late Cretaceous Chinook formation is exposed along the south side of Chinook Bay between Chinook Lagoon and Castle Cape. It comprises a cyclic sequence of sedimentary rocks, shallow to nearshore marine deposits in the lower section, and primarily continental deposits in the upper section. The formation consists of sandstones, shales, conglomerates, and occasional thin coal beds, reaching a thickness of at least 1,968 feet in the Chinook Bay region. Fossilized plants and shells confirm its late Cretaceous age. Notably, sandstone from the formation north of Castle Cape has also yielded hadrosaur tracks. Archaeological sites about 100 miles northeast of Chinook indicate human presence on the northeast Alaska Peninsula for at least 9,000 years. Additional sites, 50 miles northeast, show occupation from 2,000 to 300 years ago, while those 60 to 200 miles southwest indicate continuous use over the past 5,000 to 6,000 years. Most settlements in the Chinook region, both historical and prehistoric, are near productive salmon streams. Stone tools, including notched net sinkers, suggest a long-standing reliance on fishing, likely for salmon. The first recorded Western expedition to the Pacific coast of the Alaska Peninsula came in 1741 when Vitus Bering sought land and resources for Russia. A second expedition in the 1760s brought fur traders who soon dominated indigenous populations. These Russians encountered Aleutianangan speakers from the west and southwest and Yupik-speaking ancestors of the Aleutic Sukpiat from the central and eastern peninsula. Scholars believe the cultural boundary between these groups lay near Chinook. The Aleutic were maritime hunters whose homeland included the southern Alaska Peninsula, Kodiak Island, Lower Cook Inlet, and Prince William Sound. They relied on marine and tundra resources for food, fuel, and raw materials, and were adept at using sealskin kayaks called bidarkas and open boats. Their hunting skills made them targets for Russian exploitation. Many Aleutic men were forced into labor. Russians introduced Christianity, trade goods, and diseases to which Alaska natives had no immunity. The Aleutic population suffered devastating losses in the 18th and 19th centuries. Russian exploitation persisted until the Alaska Purchase in 1867, after which American interests focused on whaling, fur, and commercial fishing. Chinook's first salmon cannery opened in 1888. By 1890, salmon fishing had become the region's dominant industry. All five species of Pacific salmon are harvested in the commercial fishery, with sockeye being the most important species in this region. Between 2000 and 2018, declines in salmon abundance prompted closures of the Chidinic area salmon fisheries, resulting in regional population declines of at least 31%. Castle Cape has long served as a distinctive landmark for mariners navigating Alaska's treacherous coastline. It is so well known that the U.S. National Weather Service uses it as a reference point to divide marine forecast zones. Area 150 spans from Sitkanak Island to Castle Cape, and Area 155 from Castle Cape to Cape Saraceff. The National Weather Service Marine Program provides forecasts and warnings for U.S. coastal and offshore waters. Its origins date to 1870, when a congressional resolution directed the Secretary of War to collect meteorological observations and provide storm warnings. A formal marine weather program began on January 23, 1873, under the U.S. Army Signal Corps, which transcribed meteorological data from ships arriving in port. In 1890, the U.S. Weather Bureau became a civilian agency under the Department of Agriculture. The U.S. Navy began issuing North Atlantic marine forecasts in 1901, and this responsibility was transferred to the Weather Bureau in 1904. In the early 20th century, the Norwegian cyclone model helped meteorologists understand mid-latitude atmospheric structure. Combined with an increase in shipboard observations, it enabled the first crude atmospheric maps. During World War II, the U.S. Navy established a Marine Weather Center, and the U.S. Coast Guard created manned ocean weather stations. In 1957, the Weather Bureau began publishing the Mariner's Weather Log, which continues today. The Weather Bureau became the National Weather Service in 1970. Today, individual forecast offices, including three in Alaska, issue marine forecasts and warnings for nearshore coastal waters. Thank you for listening. Read the article below for more information, including dozens of links to source material and references. Please subscribe to learn more about the West Coast of North America at coastview.org.